Welcome to today's Mentor Moment. These short form episodes are our most impactful insights packaged together for you so you can enjoy them every weekend with a brand new mentor. Today, your mentor is Nadia Adan, the founder of Ashford Motors.
So let's go back to the start. What do you do?
Yeah, so I'm a car dealer. I have a garage called Ashford Motors in Wicklow, which I started 4 years ago, just before the pandemic started. So I started the business in January 2020 and lockdown happened in March.
Nice timing.
Perfect timing. So I was born out of uncertainty, I think. And I was born at a time where, you know, everybody was online and, you know, I kept my margins really low at the beginning, which was very helpful because I had to. I was uncertain. I didn't know if the business was going to work. I come from a finance background. So this was totally new to me as well. And I think I was just born in a catastrophe, which kind of led me to how I had to kind of operate the business from the early days.
How'd you get into it though? How'd you get into cars?
Yeah, so I was an equity analyst and then a stockbroker and, you know, obviously a really good corporate job. It's not even 9 to 5. It's like 7 a.m. to like 8 p.m. every day. That's finance for you, you know, and it's like 5 days a week. Then you're studying on a Saturday. You know, I did my postgrad in Trinity. I did my stockbroking exams in UCD. I was studying for my CFAs. So I was really like, you know, getting qualified in this field.
You're on the track.
This is where I was going to be. And I was working with all these, I was working in a shark tank with 18 guys. I was the only girl. And the other lady, that she was the head of the whole team. So she was feisty. So it was just the two of us. And I was very junior. And I was working with all these guys and they're on crazy money and they're traders and they're just mad. They loved their Porsches and their Range Rovers and their M5s. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to need a car, like a nice car.
Were you into cars?
No, really, I wasn't really into cars. Like I always knew what a nice car looked like. But I'm like, I would never, like, I'm not a mechanic. Now I know my way around a car and now I know a good car versus bad car, how a car should drive or what to look out for. But I'm still not a Formula One mechanic. You don't need to be to sell a good product or service. That's why I have good mechanics in place to do that work for me. So I took out my first loan. I bought my first flashy car. And at the time it was a 08 BMW 320 M Sport manual in the white. And it was just out of this world. It was, I just felt like I'd made it, okay. You know, and it's that big first loan we all have, you know, and I ended up selling it in a car park on my lunch break one day, made a few quid, loved it. Did again. And I just loved it. And then
you started trading your way up the cars, did you?
Just trading and so I was making a few quid and then I'd drive it myself and then I'd sell it and then I'd make another few quid privately rather than trading it in and buy another car. And then I just met people in the trade that way and built up relationships and stuff like that. And then I just decided to quit my job just before the pandemic because I wasn't happy.
Why?
I don't know. I think I just wasn't happy being in a box. And it was, you know, as much as it was, I was on a very good wage, like, you know, and guaranteed up to whatever I wanted to be. And, you know, it was very tough because my whole background was education based. My mom, single mom, brought me up here and her thing, she didn't want me to struggle. She struggled her whole life. So she was like, education, education, education. So when I told her, like, look, I'm leaving my fancy job as a stockbroker, going to sell cars on the side of the road, like she was just like wanted to disown me.
What did she say?
Oh, she was like, everything I've done for you, like all the money I've spent on you, because like it was Trinity's not cheap, like, you know, and she didn't have the money to do it at the time. She had to do a payment plan and everything, and you know, oh, you're gonna let everyone down and all this type.
Wow.
And I was like, just trust me and just wait. I never listened to my mom anyway. Like we're always fighting growing up, but like, cause we're the same. She did that to her parents, you know, and she overcame so much in her world. And then she just wanted me to like have a better life than her. But I was like, no, I want to do things my own way. And also the culture, you know, she comes from a different culture than I do. I've been brought up in Tala, for God's sake, and she's Somali and Muslim. So there was that kind of growing up and stuff. But like, we're so close now, like, because she sees now, she's like, okay, I actually have more time for her now because I do, you know what I mean? And I can buy her nice stuff and, you know, do nice things for her. And she's, I think she's happy now. Now she's super proud. Like she has my calendar. She's like sending the calendar to all the uncles.
No way.
You know, and she's
what's Nadia up to these days?
Yeah,
well I'll send you a calendar.
Yeah, she's like, proud. Okay. She's like, I'll take 10. I'm like, I'm charging you.
I love that. No family discount.
Yeah.
How did you know, right? Because that's a huge like right turn. Like, how did you know it's the right thing to do? Because that's the big thing for most founders that are listening. They're like, oh, I've got this idea, but I just don't know.
Yeah, I didn't know it was the right thing to do, but I knew I built myself up to a point that if it didn't work, I could go back to a job like that, no issue. And I think when you're side hustling, because I suppose that's what I was doing, and you're in a normal job, you just have to get to a point where you can financially leave your job, like you are making enough to get by, that you can stop your monthly paycheck and jump in 2 feet, because this will never grow if you don't.
Yeah.
But you have to get to that point. And I didn't get to that point for a while because, and then eventually I was like, no, do you know what? I've enough there to put a lease out for a year. And it was a cheap yard, like as some garages will call me, or they did call me, don't call me anymore, a Backstreet Garage, actually.
Backstreet Garage.
Very, very well-known garage called me that there recently. And, you know, I was a Backstreet Garage. I was a nobody in a yard in the middle of Wicklow, and the pandemic hit. And then that's what really pushed me on social media.
What was your plan?
I survive, pay the bills, make money, like all the like non-emotional stuff, like just day by day.
Just get going.
Just pray to God I'd sell a car. And then you never know when you're going to sell a car. So selling cars is all about turnover. So, you know, you buy a car for $2,000 or whatever it was, and how quickly are you going to sell that car and make money so you can reinvest that and buy another one? Because you're only working with your capital at that time when you're building, or your loan, your personal loan, whatever you choose to start off with. You can really start selling cars with $10,000. You could start with $10,000. I started pretty much like that and build it. And then eventually where I'm at now, banks are throwing money at me. I'm getting capital from lenders and stuff like that. There was a period of I had to use high street lenders to get more capital, and that crucified me, but it's almost like a necessary evil to go through that as well. So yeah, so I really didn't know how it was all going to work out. I just kept going. And I think when I started getting a bit of pushback at the beginning, that really drove me to like go, no, I'm going to prove myself here.
Yeah. And what, like January 2020, like literally kind of February, March, it all kicked off. So what did you do?
So when it all kicked off, it was more so, okay, first of all, like, how am I going to sell cars? So then obviously I was trying to do all the health and safety stuff, like buy everything in, buying all the masks, buying all the sanitizer, buying the big gun. As I said, I was dressed up like Breaking Bad, like, you know, my hazmat suit, like spraying everything down. And then my next thing was, how will people know that there's a girl out in Rottnew trying to sell cars in an industrial estate? So then I started, and like, obviously I think it's my age group as well. Like I'm 33, but then I was in my late 20s. So I was all about social media anyway. I was on Instagram myself.
You were native to it.
Yeah, I was used to it. Like, and I grew up like watching the Kardashians and stuff. So I've always been into like, you know, social media and stuff like that. So then I started like an Instagram account and started doing videos. And it was funny at the time because there was another couple of garages that started blocking me on Instagram at the time. And I was just like, everything just kept pushing me to go, no, I'm going to keep going. And I just started doing stories of like when a car would come in and then when a car would go. So then the stories built to like full on videos, and then eventually got my own videographer, tried doing loads of professional videos, which they did really well. They ended up being showcased on RT in a documentary called Secrets of the Showroom. There's no secrets at all, but it was good fun. And then that really like, you know, elevated my profile again. And then I always stuck to like keeping the professional videos, because people could say what they want. They could say, oh, she just has her boobs out, she's doing that. But then they look at the professional stuff and they're like, hang on a second. So it's really important for me to always keep a level of professionalism while I'm doing like funny viral videos to boost the brand out there, but also keep a level of like a good business fundamentally. You see, you can market how you want if your business is good. Sex sells, boobs sell, but you're not going to have a long-term business just from sex sells. You need to have a fundamentally good business behind you that you look after customers. You've done your I's, you're doing your T's. Like I've just become a credit intermediary there in the last few weeks so I can offer better finance deals for my customer. I was doing everything behind the scenes to make it a good business as much as I could, because it would allow me then to market how I want it.
Okay.
And if people were there saying this and that about her, I was happy because I was off here doing a deal and gone.